We turn to the chapter we read in the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians, Colossians chapter 1, and we shall read again verse 23. Colossians chapter 1 at verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Amen. This wonderful chapter shows us the supremacy of Jesus Christ. He is supreme over all things. And from verse 19 and down to our text, we see how Christ is supreme in the work of redemption. Priests came before Christ. They offered their sacrifices as prescribed by Moses, but their sacrifices could not take away sin. So they were priests, but their ministry was not effectual in the way that sinners require. That was left to Christ. And we have in Scripture a very full account of how effectual the work of Christ is when it comes to the needs of sinners. He has a people whom he has redeemed by his blood. He made the purchase on the cross. He brings them to God. Brings them to God through the gospel. And we read here of the hope of the gospel. And the gospel is a gospel of hope because of Christ and his redeeming work. And we may say, it is a most sure hope. That is the blessedness of this gospel hope. It's not like the hope of many, which is a very vague thing, a very vain thing in the end. It's empty of reality, of substance. It's just a wish, even a pious wish. But there's nothing to base it upon. Hope of the gospel is based on Christ, and you could not get any more solid foundation than that. Think of some of the ways in which Scripture describes the Christian hope. A good hope. Good hope through grace. A lively hope, something that is living in the soul. We're begotten again by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead unto a lively hope. And then it is a blessed hope. Believers, while they remain in this world, are looking upward, and they're looking for and longing for the blessed hope and the glorious hearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. So we have a gospel worth believing and preaching, and a gospel worth living by. Indeed, there is nothing else that can give us any peace as we contemplate a coming eternity. Only this: the gospel, the hope it brings, the sure hope it represents. Well, let us consider first of all, with the Lord's help, what this hope is. We read of the hope of the gospel, but what do believers hope for? In essence, what are they hoping for? Now we can refer to the word immortality, because that is a hope that probably people in general have. But again, it's a vain, it's a vague hope. The Christian has hope of immortality because of Christ and because of his redeeming work. And only because of that. Note in verse 27, Paul speaks of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the glory is not something the Christian has here. It's something that awaits him or her. And it's glory together with Christ. We enter into a world of glory. Well, we're in that realm now, but we do not yet experience the full, blessed reality of the kingdom of God. We enjoy saving grace. That has wrought a wonderful change in our lives, and it's continuing to work a change in preparing us for heaven, a holy people, but to actually enter in to the heavenly city, to be there and to know that we shall abide there, and to open our eyes in heaven, and that's to behold the glory of that place. We're in the King's palace, we're before his throne, and we behold him, or now we see him, and our hearts are taken up, altogether consumed and overwhelmed by the sight that we now see. Christ glorified as the mediator, and Christ radiant in his glory. And all who are present there, this great multitude, numberless, like the sand on the seashore. They're all seeing Christ, and they're all basking in the radiance of his glory. Immortality in terms of deathlessness. Incapable now there in heaven of any harm, sickness, death, risen with a spiritual body, a glorious body. Christ is able to change our vile body, to make it like his own. A real blessedness. A full contentment, an entire satisfaction. That is what awaits the child of God in the world to come. And it was the hope of the patriarchs and all the believers in the time of the Old Testament. Abraham rejoiced to see Christ's day. Saw it from afar, it made him glad. And that was his hope, as he was a sojourner in this world. His heart and mind were fixed upon the Redeemer, typified to him in the sacrifices, and even in that event on Mount Moriah, when he would have sacrificed his own son, his only son Isaac, but was called to desist and shown the divine provision in the place of Isaac in the form of a ram, lamb. But seeing in that lamb substitute for his son Isaac, Jesus Christ as the substitute for his people. And you have Job And those famous words in chapter 19 of the book that bears his name, I know that my Redeemer liveth. What a wonderful vision he had. What a heavenly anointing he had, that he was able to see from the limited revelation he had such a thing. But so many before or after, and wise men, have not seen or refused to see. I know that my Redeemer liveth. He was a man of faith. And his faith did not waver, it did not fail, even through all his afflictions, all his trials. You have Asaph too, and the testimony he bears in Psalm 73. Stumble because of his own experience, his own lot, which was a difficult one. Much opposition and difficulty in his walk in the sinful world. He was envious for a time regarding the wicked. Their lot, their portion seemed so much easier than his. They were carefree. They lived from day to day just as they pleased, without a worry, without a burden. But then he went into the sanctuary of God, the holy place of worship, where the word of God is read, and where prayer is offered to the Most High, the atmosphere of reverence and the fear of the Lord. Why do we fear God? Because he is holy. Because he is perfect and we are so imperfect. We are sinners and every sin deserves his wrath and curse. And how we can only approach such a God in the way of humility, confession of sin, repentance toward God, and looking to another, even Christ, as our righteousness before God. And Asaph was able to confess, as he came to the end of the psalm, that he had none other in heaven or earth, and desired none other, but the Lord. And it was good for him to draw near to God, his blessed portion. And we know that Paul himself had the hope of the gospel. You read his account in 2 Timothy chapter 4 as he nears the end. He says that he's now ready to be offered, and he testifies that by grace he has fought a good fight. He's not saying that he'd done everything just as he should have done everything, but with sincerity, that is what he's able to say. And he's looking forward to a crown. A crown that the Lord will place upon his head. And what is this crown? Well, it is described in 2 Timothy as a crown of righteousness. And it's laid up for the apostle as it is for all his people. And the one who will give it is the Lord, the righteous judge. There's the hope of the gospel. That at the last day we shall be publicly acknowledged and acquitted by Christ. We shall be declared by him to be righteous, holy, without sin. And the crown shall be upon our head. what this hope is, and then how this hope is obtained. It is important to know that, even as believers, to be reminded of it, so that if our hope ever becomes diminished and weak, we know where to go for the strengthening once again of our hope. He speaks of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. One gospel proclaimed by Paul and the other apostles and those who came after them in Colossae and everywhere else, and now to the end of the world. Every nation to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because faith cometh by hearing. We must hear the gospel in terms of words proclaimed by the authority of Jesus Christ in his name, the word of the truth of the gospel, the pure gospel of grace. And we must hear it and believe it. For hearing is one thing, believing is another. So many hear, and yet so few believe. What makes the difference? It is Christ. It is Christ by his Spirit blessing the word to the souls of his people. And Paul would preach. He would preach Christ crucified. That was his great subject. And he knew that as he preached Christ crucified, that it would be a savour of life unto some and a savour of death unto others. He was content with that because he knew that the issues of the preaching of the gospel are not with man. They are with God himself. God has sovereignty in this. Where the gospel is preached, who hears it, and who believes the gospel, we're all called to believe in Jesus Christ. We're urged to do that. It is a most solemn obligation for everyone who hears the gospel. How sad that many hear it Sabbath after Sabbath. As far as we can tell, they're not believing in Jesus Christ. But they're bound to. God commands it. The warning is issued. But only by the Spirit of God can there be saving faith. And that must be the focus of our prayer. Lord, bless thy word. Bless it in the congregation, beyond the congregation. Grant showers of blessing that the word may come and soften the heart, that the heart, the will may be yielded up to the claims of Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Value the gospel in our midst. Too many think light of it. We must say that about the present generation. People who never darken the door of the church, and yet if the church should close, they would be perhaps regretting. They would be lamenting the fact. They would be sad at the fact. Yet they never came to hear the good news themselves. If the gospel is not wanted, the Lord may go elsewhere And we seem to be seeing that in terms of our whole nation. In general, there is this fearful turning away from the things of God, a rejection of God's inspired word, a mocking at it, a setting up of idols and false gods, whatever they might be, not realizing if we grieve the Holy Spirit to such an extent, the Lord will go elsewhere. Or how we, as the Lord's people, need to plead with him that he would not utterly forsake us. And we do have the encouragement in the scripture that even though there be a few righteous in a place, yet for their sake, the Lord will remain and the Lord will grant their petitions. And if he judges, well, he will not judge in such a way as to overwhelm and destroy. No, he will preserve a testimony here and there. So we pray that the gospel would be blessed to ourselves. It is the means of strengthening our faith. And if our faith is strengthened, our hope will be brighter, because there is a connection between the two. Indeed, you think of the three graces that Paul refers to in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, or love. These three. Bless to ourselves and bless to others, even for their conversion to Christ, that they may come to share this same blessed hope that the Lord's people have, and will keep the believer in troublous times, times of great enmity toward the things of God. Whatever the ungodly can do, whatever the wicked one can do, he cannot take away the Christian's hope. His activities, those of the world, may cause the believer to become faint in his hope for a time, but the Lord will revive that hope. And that brings us to our final point. How this hope is maintained. And we have the words at the beginning of the text. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Now there is perhaps a warning there, one given by Paul to the Colossians, and no doubt to other churches. If ye continue in the faith. Some do not. And if they do not continue in the faith, then they will be moved away from the hope of the gospel. Some are. How does this happen? People who have perhaps professed or show promise, and then there seems to be a turning aside, a turning back. Well, so often it is the love of the world, as simple as that. And that is not surprising, because the world is in us. It's in every Christian. And the love of the world exerts a pull, an influence upon the heart and the mind and the will, to the extent that the person may be drawn in the direction of the world. And that means departing from the things of the Lord. People stop going to the prayer meeting. Or they stop going out twice on the Sabbath. Or perhaps even before that, their own devotions become very hurried, and then intermittent, and then cease altogether. And we're thinking of those who may not be truly converted. They seem to begin well, but then they went away. And we're thinking also of genuine Christians who may experience a time of backsliding, out of which the Lord will bring them ultimately through much humbling and penitence and sorrow. But not only the love of the world, false teaching. In the next chapter, Paul refers to this. In verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head. That, you see, is the key. You have to hold the head. And that's the action of saving faith. Laying hold of Christ, the head of the church, and the head of every Christian. The saviour of the body, of his people, each one of his own, while they are members of his mystical body. To hold the head with a firm trust. And we must continue in the faith. You remember the words in Jude verse 3. How he exhorted his readers in the day of apostasy, or coming apostasy, to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That's the faith. What we have in the Bible, delivered by God through prophets and apostles, preserved by God, that we might have this manual, this directory of what we are to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of us. One faith hasn't changed. Go to some churches and speak to some Christians, you would think that it had changed. Indeed, changed out of all recognition. But no. There you have the benefit of confessions and catechisms, and the ancient creeds, especially the documents drawn up at the time of the Reformation. A time of revival. A time of great blessing. A time when the Lord's people had a burning hope and love for the Lord. Let us continue in the faith, holding fast the truth. And then we're told what is necessary, essential, if we are indeed to continue in the faith, holding fast the truth. We must be grounded. Grounded. And that refers to resting upon Christ. Resting upon Christ by faith for righteousness unto our justification. We do not have that righteousness that justifies. Only Christ has it, but he gives it to all who trust in him. And we need to be grounded
to be resting by faith upon our righteous Redeemer.
But also settled. We must be settled in terms of looking to Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Is that how you are each day? You open your eyes in the morning when you rise from your bed, from your sleep. But do you open, as it were, your spiritual eye anew and look to Christ and send up praise and petition as you begin the day? It is good to be like that. And we look to Christ for strength, spiritual strength and vigor, to enable us to stand in the evil day. And if we are grounded and if we are settled, well then, we're somewhat like the man who built his house upon a rock. And though the storms came, and they were severe, and the wind blew with terrific force, and the rain came down like a deluge, because the house was built upon a rock, it remained when the house that was built upon the sand collapsed. To be like that as believers. Grounded, settled upon the rock of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then our hope for eternity, our blessed hope, will be maintained to our comfort as the Lord's people. May he grant it. May he bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, we thank thee for the hope thou hast given to thine own people in such a world as this, that when they come to the end of their days here, they will be going to a far better place. And Christ is our hope, and our desire is to be with him. And thy word encourages us by saying to us that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. May this hope give us encouragement to continue with Christ. And wilt thou keep our eyes from tears and our feet from falling, watching over us body and soul. Forgive all our sins, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.